My lips touch you with their soft, wet kisses. Your hands gentle in reply.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at Bruce@BruceSalen. I hope you'll follow me on Twitter at Bruce Salen. That's Bruce and Salen, S like in Sam's, A-L-L-A-N. It is one of two segments are happening now with Pastor Drew Sams, who's the head pastor at the Bel Air Presbyterian Church. He and his wife, Erica, presently live in Newberry Park, California, and the proud parents of their first son, 2 years, 4 months old, I believe, Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Drew, thanks for having me on. You got it down, 2 months, or 2 years and 4 months exactly.
Well, I sort of kind of have a running count in my head, so it's not like it's that special. But let's do what we always do and get a little health and welfare. Did Judah get his cast off, and how's he doing?
He did. Thanks for asking. You know, he got his cast off. If those listeners didn't hear how that happened, he jumped out of his crib about a month and a half ago, and he healed up great. So now he's out of the cast, but in a brace for the next couple of weeks. I just want to make sure he doesn't do the same thing again and fall on it.
But he's not in any pain, any residual pain?
Nope, looking great. Running around. I'm actually at home with him today while my wife's working.
Sweet.
Yeah, I've got a little time off here in July, so I'm taking full advantage of it with my son.
Did his arm atrophy a little bit? I just wonder at that age if that would happen.
You know, I think because he's so small to begin with as a two-year-old, I look at him side by side, and I don't think really he had much muscle structure to begin with, so I don't really see much of a difference. Just a little bit of a rash from, you know.
That makes sense. And even if it had atrophied at his age, it'll come back in no time. So it's not like I'm worried about it, but I just thought I'd ask. So you just told me on the break that your father is currently on a plane flying back from Israel. Given the recent disaster that took place in the Ukraine with the Malaysian jet shot down, I'm hoping and praying, of course, that he has a safe flight. But I would love to talk a little bit further about Israel with you. Why was your father there? I'm curious. And, you know, your thoughts on the conflict there and what I said in my first segment about the moral upside down coverage of the world and the attitude towards Israel. It's a mystery to me, unless there's just inherent anti-Semitism that's, you know, going to be with us forever. I don't even understand the moral idiocy of what's being reported and portrayed about what's going on there.
Yeah, well, so much to cover, you know, in a short little segment here, but my dad is at the airport right now in Tel Aviv, flying out actually in about an hour and a half, and he's there on business. He actually, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but he works for an Israeli company called Valens, and he's been part of that company for about 2.5-3 years, and he's the North American sales rep. And so, you know, he had a decision to make last week with everything going on the Gaza Strip and recent developments. He had to make the decision, you know, does he fly to Tel Aviv from Los Angeles or not? And so he made the decision after talking with, you know, his colleagues there. He felt comfortable enough to fly. And he was, you know, staying in a hotel all week in Tel Aviv, emailing us videos of, you know, paragliders behind boats, you know, out in the water. People playing. Have you seen this where they play? It's almost like volleyball, but it's like the soccer version of volleyball. Life is, you know, where they don't use their
hands. Plus they play Kadima, which is that game where you kind of hit a ball back and forth with a paddle, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, he was saying, you know, life feels normal. Of course, that's over in Tel Aviv, and I know life isn't normal for many people, you know, in other regions of that area. But, you know, he made the choice to travel, and he loves that company that he's working with. And, you know,
what do they do? What is their product? The tech company?
Yeah, it's a tech company, really fascinating product. So what they do is they'll take some technology and they'll come in, and rather than rip out and lay new fiber optic cable, or, you know, as technology gets faster and faster and we're sending more and more information across our telecommunication lines, what they do is they add this small piece of technology, and what it does somehow is able to convert the ability of that older cable exponentially more powerful and more fast speed to get communication. So it's a very inexpensive way for governments, for companies to
Upgrade.
Yeah, upgrade without having to rip up the ground laying cable.
You know, so of course, that Israel is the third most innovative country in the world as far as patents. That this tiny little country in the middle of all this oil wealth, it has very little, if none of its own, has made done more good for the world than the billion Arabs that surround it, who all they seem to be able to do is buy fancy cars and oppress their women. But Israel's the villain. It's a mind blower. They have taken a desert oasis, and I mean desert like sand dune desert, and made it an oasis of green water and beauty. And the thing you said about living their lives, they have a ethic that no matter what, life must go on. So while they are, of course, living in some degree of fear and having to go in bomb shelters and stuff like that when the time comes, and a lot of the country is spending time in bomb shelters, they do get out and play and enjoy life. It's almost a little bit cavalier, but they refuse to be terrorized to the point of not living their life at the hands of their enemies. And it's a beautiful thing to behold, as I'm sure your father saw.
Well, it really is. You know, and recently I just read a book called David and Goliath by Malcolm Gladwell. He writes for The New Yorker. And he actually talked about how when people are in war-torn areas and how when they survive, whether it's bombings or terrorist attacks, that they actually develop a resiliency and almost a confidence to go about life because they survived. They weren't taken as a casualty. And so when you look at the nation of Israel over its history, you know, going all the way back to, you know, what I would call biblical times, all the way back to beginning with, you know, Father Abraham, boy, what that group of people have gone through, no wonder there's...
Well, modern Israel has lived under the threat of annihilation from its enemies and war for 66 years, its entire existence.
Yeah.
There's never been a meaningful peace. There's just periods of quiet. And when you have enemies that refuse to recognize your right to exist, how do you ever negotiate? When you have a terrorist organization that's part of a government, which is what happens in Gaza once they, Abbas partnered with Hamas, which is on terror list of in Egypt, and of course the U.S., what? They're supposed to negotiate with a terrorist organization? Are we going to negotiate with that portion of Iraq that is now a terrorist state run by ISIS, you know, a worse offshoot of Al-Qaeda? Yet the world condemns Israel. Why is this moral upside down thing going on? I mean, you as a man of God, how do you explain this?
Yeah, you know, there's this moment in the book of Romans, so in our Christian scriptures, what we call the New Testament, where Paul, he's writing to a church in Rome, and he says, the things that we think are good, people who don't know God call bad, and the things that we call bad, those that don't know God call good. And it is, it's that complete inversion of morality, of what's right and wrong. You know, we see this throughout the world. We see it in our culture today. Everywhere we look, the things that maybe 20 years ago we said, you know, that's the majority would agree that that's not the right way to live or not the right way to act. Now it's upholded and songs are sung about it. But, you know, I want to go back to what you mentioned earlier. So the nation of Israel, state of Israel right now, you said is the third, has the third most patents. Go and approve just how innovative they are. You know, I wonder when you think about their history, 66 years as a nation, could it perhaps be that the reason why they're so innovative, so creative, is because they've endured?
Mother is the necessity of invention or invention of whatever that phrase is. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the quote from Romans you did is absolutely right on the money. From Malcolm Caldwell. Look, everybody that survives a horrible illness or conquers cancer, they have a renewed vigor for life. So of course that's going to have that sense. And you know, it's just at times it's very dispiriting. That's all. I look at the news news. And as I said, I listened to the BBC just before my own radio show, and they're like reporting these Palestinian kids' deaths as if Israel were really at fault. When are they going to report the reality? It's totally Hamas that puts these kids there wanting their own people to die. This is a group of people who celebrate death, whereas Israel celebrates life. And their knowledge of Israel's belief in the value and the incredible glory of life is how they are able to perpetuate their evil. Listen, we have to take a break. Let's continue on this or something else after this break. So stay tuned, everybody. Pastor Drew will be back.
See it with your eyes, hold it in your hand, but like the wind, it covers our land. Strong enough to rule the heart of any man, this thing called love. It can lift you up, it can let you down, take your world spinning all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.